Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Welcome back. This is episode 474 of the NYYST podcast. We're presented by NYY Underground. I am your host, Christian, and I'm with my co-host, Sem.
What's up?
Well, it's a lot better weekend in Yankee land than it had been all last week. The Yankees just completed a comeback victory over the Baltimore Orioles. They won 4-2. They took the weekend series 2-1 here. Yankees have now won 3 of the last 4 after losing 6 straight. So maybe they're righting the ship. It's Sunday afternoon at 3 o'clock. You know, we had the early Roku game. So the Yankees are done nice and early, and we can get this done nice and early and go enjoy what is now turning into a nice day. We had some thunderstorms early. It looked like it was going to be another one of those days for the Yankees where they were just going to piss away an opportunity to win a game. Will Warren gave up a couple runs early, and then he settled in, and he just does what Will Warren does most of the time, is just pitch very representative baseball. But the Yankees had a couple opportunities to score runs. They didn't get it done, and then we're going down into the 8th inning here. And I'm a big proponent of time and place for a 3-0 green light, and I thought this was the perfect time in place for the 3-0 green light with Jazz Chisholm, and he uncorks one to center field, nearly got the ball out, hit off the wall, but 2 runs scored. Then they added another run later on DJ LeMahieu's fielder's choice, which was probably only a run because Gary Sanchez was the catcher. And then the Yankees win a baseball game 4-2 after they bashed Baltimore with 4 home runs on Saturday night or Saturday afternoon. And then, you know, they had, there was an imminently winnable game on Friday that they let slip through their fingers. But you know what? After a 6-game losing streak, and we're sitting here now winning 3 out of the last 4, I think we can feel a little bit better about this team right now at this moment.
Yeah, no, it's good to see them winning. Tay was not an exceptionally invigorating game until like the last few innings, obviously. It's good to see, you know, Jazz is really becoming a main piece of this offense since he's been back, and it's good to see that. He came up big. I'm glad to see that Gary Sanchez is still helping the Yankees win games. And you know, it's just, there was a lot of the Yankees, like you said, had a lot of opportunities can't come up in this game, you know, 2 on, no outs, and they squander those chances. It gets a little frustrating, and you know, Jazz put a awesome offensive outing together for us, is I think the best way to put it.
Yeah, Judge was up the inning previous when he struck out on a hanging splitter. I mean, you know, as Aaron Judge goes, the Yankees go, and we were hoping that that game on Friday night when he had the home run, his first home run in a little bit since probably, I think it was, yeah, it had to be his first home run since the one he hit off Crochet on that Friday in Boston. He had 3 hits. We were hoping that was going to get him going, especially since he's tattooed the Oriole pitching since he's been in the major leagues. It just hasn't happened yet. It's now going on, you know, a good 9 games here where Aaron Judge just has not been himself. And now maybe Cal Raleigh is overtaking him as the MVP. I know that's what the media and the fans out in Seattle want you to believe. But, you know, I don't think I'm there yet. Maybe, you know, if Judge continues to struggle and Raleigh hits 40 home runs by All-Star break, we can start talking about that. But, you know, it was good to see the last 2 days the Yankees win baseball games without getting offensive production from Aaron Judge. This is what the Yankees have to do. The Yankees have to be able to pick up Aaron Judge while he's in a slump. They scored 9 runs yesterday, and Aaron Judge did not record a hit. They scored 4 runs today. It's not a ton, but it was enough to win. They rallied in the 8th inning. They did that without Aaron Judge helping them. You can even say Aaron Judge, if the Yankees don't win, was as big of a culprit for them losing this game today as anybody, because there was a situation earlier in the game, 2nd and 3rd, nobody out. He walks, Rice doubles, he's at 3rd. That's a very in-between situation there when Bellinger flies out to right field, because the outfielder is sliding into the ball. If Judge is back, knowing that there's nobody out, and if the ball drops, you're scoring anyway, then maybe he should be immediately going back. He got a bad read, bad base running there. You could say they don't end up scoring, because then Stanton strikes out and then Jazz flies out, but 2 outs, you know, the run doesn't score. And then, you know, he battled in that at bat against Dominguez, and that was a friggin' meatball that he got, but it was a little up, and I guess he was geared up for the fastball there, and he missed it, and he strikes out. And, you know, at that point, you're probably thinking the Yankees are done for the day, but the Yankees rallied in the 8th inning. And away we go here with a win. You know, Ben Rice had 3 hits today, and, you know, as we play the game, and he had 2 hits on Saturday with the home run, a home run being one of them. As we play this game of musical chairs now of who's going to play and who's going to sit, because now Goldschmidt has sat 2 straight days. Obviously, I'm expecting him to play tomorrow. You know, Stanton had a big single in the 8th inning, but that was preceded by 3 strikeouts. I know the Yankees haven't always acted like they believe that being hot is a real thing, but you got to find a way to get Ben Rice in this lineup tomorrow. He's hot. He's been hot the last 2 days. He's probably been your best offensive player in these last 2 games. You got to find a way to get him in the lineup on Monday. But the way the Yankees do things, and considering that Stan didn't play on Saturday, right? Am I correct in saying that? I don't remember seeing him.
No, I don't think he played.
Yeah, Stan was off on Saturday. Now, are you going to sit Stan 2 out of 3? You know you're not giving Goldschmidt 3 straight days off. Is now this is Rice's turn to sit, which I wouldn't be in agreement with, because you got this kid is now, it seems like he's coming out of that slump he's been. He's been hot these last couple of games, but these are the problems that the Yankees are facing. You can say these are good problems to have, but they're still problems to have because you have too many good hitters and not enough positions, whereas the middle of your infield is you're not getting a lot of production out of. So it'll be interesting to see what the lineup is on Monday, but Ben Rice came through today. Stan Kent comes through in the 8th inning. And this just goes to show you how desperate the Yankees are for even a bench piece to come in there and run. This is why, you know, Boone went for his shot in the 7th with Dominguez there, and you had to burn 2 players because he pinch hit Dominguez for Peraza, where you would have loved Volpe to be on the bench in that situation, where you could have went to a much faster runner when Stan gets on. Instead, he goes to Goldschmidt, who barely makes it, throws up the line a little bit. That throws on the money. He's out. So who knows what happens in the game. But it worked out. The Yankees got the run. They win. But, you know, you use Peraza today to start. Then you use Volpe, to come in and play shortstop. So, you know, there's some roster construction issues with this team. But, you know, overall, a good weekend for the Yankees. You got to start playing better baseball. You got to start playing better in the division. And you took 2 out of 3 at home, 3 out of your last 4. You go to Cincinnati, where you should be able to score runs. I mean, people like to make fun of the Yankee Stadium for being a bandbox. Cincinnati is literally a little league park. So they should be able to go out there and score some runs this weekend against, you know, a very mediocre Cincinnati Reds team.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if you've noticed or is it just me overthinking it, but I feel like the Yankees have been crushing some balls and they all just keep falling just shy of going out.
Dominguez,
a lot of balls on the warning track.
Dominguez hit today, yes, for sure. You got to hold that one.
It happened when I was at the game the other day. There was like 3 or 4 of them. It's been a lot. It just looks like they're going and then they just drop. It's well, just been something.
I didn't believe in this that, you know, I heard rumblings the Bulls are dead this year, and I didn't believe in it because the Yankees had been scoring a lot of runs, had been hitting a lot of home runs. And then Andrew McCutchen, former Yankees back with the Pirates right now, said that he was told by somebody that the Bulls are dead and the teams are different, and it's causing the Bulls to fall shorter. And then ever since then, I have noticed a difference. So maybe they're using more dead balls now than they did previously. I don't know, but maybe there is something there to it, because I've seen, especially in that game that the Yankees lost in extra innings to the Angels. That was the first game of the series, I think.
Possibly. Hey, so they had like a couple in that game that just
the game in the one in the 11th inning that Bellinger hit. I don't know how he didn't get that one out. I know he didn't have the greatest exit velocity, but it was enough with enough of a launch angle for a left-handed hitter to get that ball out in Yankee Stadium. He had one earlier in the game. Judge hit one over 100 miles an hour to dead center that I was sure was going to land in Monument Park. It wasn't even really that close. The same thing with Goldschmidt earlier in that game, hit one over 100 that looked like he had enough of it, didn't get out. So maybe there is something to this dead ball thing. And for a team that relies on hitting home runs, it's an issue. And that's possibly, I'm not saying that's the reason why the Yankees have been in this slump. There's a lot of reasons why the Yankees have been in the slump, but for a team that relies on hitting home runs and then you don't hit home runs, it's going to negatively impact your win-loss record.
Yeah. But yeah, I mean, I was at the game the other day. What a unevent. I think I left during the eighth inning. They just were very lackluster. I don't know, man. It seemed like they weren't gelling very well. They weren't just, it's just hard to describe, you know. I mean, I was talking to my buddy's little brother who works at the stadium. We were right by the champion suites, and you could see like Volpe was, his swing is so ugly, you know, and it's so long and all that. And I'm just watching it, and I just got aggravated, and I wanted to leave. You know, they ended up losing that game, obviously. And it just seems like, maybe, you know, today it was nice to see. I mean, it was only, you know, 4-2. You know, it wasn't a big scoring offensive game. But, you know, in the beginning, they like you said, they left the people on base. But when it mattered in the end of the game, they put it together. Jazz Chisholm running into the umpire. I'm having trouble talking today.
The catcher.
He ran into the catcher. I got really nervous. I'm surprised that he wasn't hurt. Their catcher, clearly. I mean, so that helped win the game, though, you know, because that took that catcher out. And Sanchez, when he went to tag out Jazz later in the game, obviously dropped the ball, stuff like that. It just like a lot of the Yankees got very lucky today, I feel. You know, I think just things fell in place for them, which allowed them to win the game.
You know, luck, but also, you know, you got to credit Fernando Cruz for coming into the game in the eighth inning after Tim Hill, whose job is to get out left-handed batters, and I love Timmy Hill. You can't walk the two left-handed batters that you face, and he comes in here, and then Fernando Cruz comes in and strikes out the side to allow the Yankees to be in a position to still be in the game going into the bottom of the eighth inning. And then you got to give a lot of credit to Devin Williams here, man. This guy has struggled mightily since becoming a Yankee. He's looked a lot better, I have to say, especially since Weaver's been on the IL, although Weave is back, that he has looked a lot better. These were the three biggest outs that Aaron Boone has asked Devin Williams to get since he's been with the Yankees. And I don't believe that's being hyperbolic. I don't think that's overstating things or exaggerating. The Yankees needed this win today. The Yankees desperately needed to leave Yankee Stadium with a win and a series win. And a series win within the division. They needed all those things, and they rallied. The Yankees have not won games after trailing into the eighth inning. That was the second time all year the Yankees have won a game after trailing, and once they've been trailing into the eighth inning. They needed to win this game. They had to win this game. This would have been the heartbreaker of all heartbreakers in terms of regular season losses for the Yankees, considering the week they've had and the way they battled back into this game for them to go and lose it. And Devin Williams looked nasty to the first two hitters. And then because he's Devin Williams, he's got to put a little bit of fear in you. He gives up the single to Jackson Holliday, but then he gets the next batter, Urias, to ground out, and no harm, no foul. Yankees win. So you got to give a lot of credit to the way the bullpen pitched in this game, is specifically Fernando Cruz. That was a giant mess that he came into, and he did an exemplary job striking out the three batters that he faced to keep the Yankees right in that game. And then Devin Williams understood the assignment. Cannot blow this game. We need this win, and he did his job. And
real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Would you have liked it to have been clean? Would you have liked it to have been a 1-2-3? Yes, but the closer's job is to save the game, and he saved the game, and that's all you can ask out of him, especially considering the season that he's had. He did his job. Yankees win, and for once we get to come on here and be in a better mood than we had been watching this team, because the Rays are right on the Yankees' heels. They don't stop winning. Toronto's made is making some hay here. Also, right behind, they're like a game behind the Rays. The Red Sox taking 5 or 6 from the Yankees. They've gotten themselves right back in this. I think they're like 5 or 6 out right now. So the Yankees have to start winning games. And you can say that the division has gotten a lot tighter. Well, also the big thing that the Yankees did to themselves with this losing streak that they've been on is they allowed the Houston Astros to get back in this, because as of right now, I don't know what the outcome of the Houston game is going to be today, but the Yankees are only a game up on the Astros for that second spot in the American League. And, you know, it's June 22nd, but you need to be one of the top two teams in the American League. The Yankees cannot expect to go back to the World Series if they play the wild card round. It's just they're going to run out of steam somewhere along the way in the American League playoffs. If they avoid that, then I do think they still have a very good chance to get back to the World Series. So, you know, this losing streak, the Yankees built up enough of a cushion in the American League East where it really hasn't hurt them. You don't like teams where you can feel their breath on your neck now. But, you know, they'll probably add a game against the Rays, who are down 9-1 in the ninth right now. Hopefully the White Sox can do something here. They're tied in the seventh and push the Jays back a little bit. But the big thing, the bigger concern to me, is now you've made Houston Astros a factor in the American League where they can be a problem for you going for that second wild card. Because, again, now the Yankees, where they were a game behind the Tigers for the best record. Oh, wow, I didn't even realize that. The Tigers have lost 3 straight. Well, because they're playing the friggin' Rays, who never want to lose. So they'll probably end the day here 2 games behind the Tigers. So it was a little bit more dicey a couple days ago, but the Yankees have picked up a couple of games here on the Tigers. So things are very bunched up in the American League. So Yankees, things could be a lot worse for them, but again, here you got to keep winning baseball games. You got to get back to where you were when you were 16 games over 500 and look like a true threat in the American League, and they just haven't been there this last week. And these last 4 games, they've looked more like the team that we've seen the previous 60 games than we did in the last 7. Because have they won these games? Well, you know, on Thursday they hit home runs. Yesterday, they hit home runs. Today, they didn't hit home runs, but they drew some walks and got some big hits along the way here with some good pitching. So the Yankees are they're not – I wouldn't say they're completely out of the woods, but this is a big win today for me. To me, I would say this might be the biggest win that they've had all year, considering where they've been and where things have been trending over the last week. So we'll see what that means, because you can say that this was a season changing win, which it might be, man, because if they go out there and they lose this game today and they, you know, they have a 2-5 homestand, who knows how bad things spiral out of control. But I think that they stopped that momentum, that negative momentum here, and they're going to Cincinnati, to a place, like I said earlier, where they should be able to score some runs.
Yeah. You're going out with momentum. You're coming off a win. You're going out to face a 500 team. You know, hope that was a, it's a 3-game series, not a 4-game series, right?
Yeah, Cincinnati's 39-38. They're on a 3-game losing streak today. What are they doing today? There's 1-1 in the fourth. So I mean, they're a very average baseball team in a park that's going to yield runs. The Yankees should be able to take advantage of the Reds this week.
I mean, I saw that Ellie De La Cruz has had heated up. I saw something earlier today where he was actually playing really good, like over 300 for the past few games and whatnot. But I mean, we should go in there and we should be able to do our thing and we should be able to win, you know? And because, like you said, the division's getting tighter. Tampa Bay's, what, 2 games behind?
There'll be three.
So those losses to the Red Sox really, really, really changed things for us. So now they need to play like they're playing to keep the lead. It's not a comfortable spot to be in anymore, you know, where you could go and you could lose a handful and still be okay. You know, that's why we were so down on it that they lost to Boston, because now you're losing divisional games. You know, it's one thing to lose, you know, to the Mets, you know, for other reasons, but like to lose to Boston, you can't do that, and you definitely can't drop 5 out of 6. So, you know, then we had that one game where we should have won, probably against what was it, on Easter or Mother's? Was it Mother's Day? What day was it? I don't know. It was Easter, right? When Judge hit the home run down against at George Steinbrenner Field, and they said it wasn't a home run when you clearly could say, you know, that comes to bite us in the ass a little bit.
They won.
Huh?
They won.
Did they
that
win
game.
That game?
Yes.
Oh, so I take all that back. But they lost one game in that series though, I think.
It was the day before. I think they blew a big lead or something. I forget what it was.
That's when Williams came in, right? I don't know. I'm not gonna try to remember back anymore. But it, you know, losing divisional games, it's always a kick in the nuts. You know, so here we are. You know, they win these games.
Yeah, they took 3 out of 4 that weekend, and it was Tampa scored 4 in the ninth inning to tie the game.
Yeah.
And on Saturday, and then the Yankees won on that game where it looked like Judge had the home run, but it didn't matter because they were winning 4-0. That was the game that Free took the perfect game and deep into the game, and then they changed it to a hit.
Yes, yes, yes. Okay, now I remember. Yep. I mean, but listen, if they could take 3 out of 4 here, or just you know, here, you know, here and there, or they could split, you know, when they have four game series, or you know, it's just you can't fall behind anymore. You can't lose 6 in a row. You got to be playing 500 baseball here to stay alive. You know, the Rays, like you said, they don't want to lose. If they're not going to lose, they're going to catch up to us eventually. So it's kind of like the Yankees are in quite a bind here. You know, Judge isn't performing and he's striking out in big situations. You know, it's almost for, like, you know, you can't get on him because he's been the whole team a lot of the times. But, you know, in big situations like that, he can strike out. Yesterday, he didn't record a hit, but he was walked how many times? You know, and then they're intentionally walking him when he's playing the Angels and stuff like that. So it's, you know, it's, I'm not really judging him too much. I'm not getting hits or whatnot, but it's when he's coming up in the big spots is where I'm getting down on him. You can't strike out in there. You know, you gotta make some contact.
Yeah. So the Yankees, it's a little scheduling quirk here again, where they were home for 6, they go on the road for 3 before they're home for 3 and then go back on the road. It's just, I don't understand how they do the scheduling here in Major League Baseball sometimes. But, you know, you brought up you can't lose 3 to Boston. And you're right, you can't lose 3 to Boston. But to me, the bigger sin was losing 3 in a row to start that series against the Angels at home. You are clearly – you're better than the Red Sox. Let's not
– To the two worst pitchers in the league.
Yeah, you're clearly better than the Red Sox. I'm not saying that the Yankees aren't, but you know what? Divisional foe, rival, on the road, you know, first time all year, you got swept. It is what it is, right? To come home after that, and then, you know, I hate going back to the previous series, but you know, unfortunately, we were supposed to be on NYYU on Thursday night to talk about the Angels series. A lot got in the way, both Mother Nature and my schedule, and we were just unable to make it happen. And I just, by the time I got home, I just said, it's it is what it is, and we let it go. And but we're, you know, supposed to be back on the U. I know it's been a long time for us on Thursday. The Yankees are off that day. It's their first off day in 16 games. But you come home against the Angels. You lose 1-0 on Monday. It's a game the Yankees should have won. I mean, we don't have to go back and forth on it. But, you know, Soriano is a good pitcher. I think he came into a lot of people's consciousness on Sunday night when you saw the chart there Sunday afternoon, because when the Yankees played Boston, that he's got one of the highest ground ball percentages in baseball. He's got he had a 3.88 ERA, so you know he's a good pitcher. Came in, you know, Yankees struggled with him. Fine, whatever. But then the next 2 days, for the Yankees to face the two pitchers with the two highest qualified ERAs in all of baseball and score a combined 2 runs and lose both of those games is unacceptable. You're home. You're a home run hitting team. And for that to happen, that's way worse to me than anything that happened in Boston that week. You know, and then the Yankees finally broke out against a guy that they should have hit in Ty Anderson and did hit him on Thursday. They won that game, and then they took 2 out of 3 of Boston, so against Baltimore. So maybe we are figuring things out here and being back on the right track here. There's a couple of things I want to touch on here. Number one, Carlos Rodon on Thursday, I was listening to the game in the car mostly. Emmanuel Barry was doing the game for some reason. I didn't hear why Susan was out.
She was sick, I think.
Oh, was she? She was back today. I heard her today. So Rodon, 3 earned over 6. It's a quality start, but when you struggled your last 2 outings, and again, the home run ball is back with Rodon. Look, the Yankees won that game. It's, quote, a quality start. So how much are you going to rip him for this? I'm not going to rip him. I'm not. But what I'm saying is I need him to drag his nuts on the mound again. Like, in his next start, I need to see 7 innings, 1 run, 9 Ks. I need to get that out of him, because these last 3 starts being okay at best is not why I came on here and went choo-choo all aboard the Rodon resurgence. It's not why this is not the type of performances that I want to see out of him. You need to see him be more of a top-level star than we had seen. Because if you remember that all of a sudden I do that on the podcast, he goes on Joel Sherman. Is it Joel Sherman? I don't know who the co-host is with John Heyman. He goes on their podcast. Yeah. They're pumping him up. He gets all the bouquets thrown at him because he pitched the Sunday night game on national TV. And then ever since then, he just has not been the same pitcher. It's like you're finally saying good things about Carlos Rodon, and it's like he can't handle the positivity surrounding him. So he's just going to have you pump on the brakes a little bit here. So I don't know, man. I just need to see Carlos Rodon be back to the pitcher we saw previous to his first start against the Red Sox. And then, you know, Max Fried, he was really good again. We talked about this because we covered that. You know, 7 innings, 2-run ball against the Red Sox, but Yankees lose because they don't score. Now the Yankees have lost 2 straight Max Fried starts, which is really pissing me off, because you should not be losing games when Max Fried is on the mound. But he struggled on Friday. Again, a quality start, but, you know, let's be real here. 3 runs over 6 is not what Max Fried or any of us consider quality for Max Fried. But again, here we go. You know, fucking Gary Sanchez is the... It looked like Fried was all over the place in that first inning, hit 2 batters. He looks like he's going to get out of it, and he gets nicked for a 2-run single by Gary Sanchez. I don't know if they still do kangaroo court in big league clubhouses, but if they did, whoever is the judge should fine him for giving up a 2-run single to Gary Sanchez there. And then, of course, Gary's the one that breaks up the no-hitter yesterday. You know, and then Clark Schmidt was phenomenal yesterday. Absolutely phenomenal. I mean, how can you say anything other when the guy goes 7 no-hit innings? And here's the big debate now. Everybody's talked about it. We're going to talk about it. Was Aaron Boone wrong for taking Clark Schmidt out in the 8th inning after he had reached 103 pitches? Do you want to go first, or do you want me to go first here? Because I know you hate Aaron Boone the most.
I would have left him in. I'm not saying anything. I'm not going to deny that. That's what I argued with you about yesterday. I would have left him in. My Clark Schmidt autograph was begging him to be left in because I really wanted him to get a no hitter.
I have one of
those. So my wallet was maybe doing a little bit more thinking for me, waking up this morning, thinking about it. Cause I was at work earlier this morning. So I was thinking about baseball and yesterday and, I don't disagree with it. Obviously 103 pitches. This was a career high for him. Correct.
That tied his career high.
Okay, so tied his career high. He had two more innings to go. Maybe if it was the eighth and it ended there, I would have sent him out for the ninth. So being that it was he hit that in the seventh, I regrettably recant my statements from yesterday, and I agree that he probably should have been pulled when he was pulled due to the fact that he is coming back from an injury. He's only been, how many games has he pitched so far this season? And pitching as well as he was, you can't take the risk of him injuring himself again, especially when we're so close to getting healed back and we need quality pitching, especially now that Yarbrough is on the IL.
Clark's made 12 starts this year.
Yeah, so you can't, because he missed the first month. You can't.
First couple of weeks, he really wasn't out that long. I was surprised that he didn't.
I thought he would have had like 10 starts, 12 starts. Okay. But the risk wasn't worth the reward.
No, the juice was definitely not worth the squeeze for me, for Clark Schmidt, who over his last seven starts, 43 innings pitched, he's pitching to a 1.67 ERA, 40 strikeouts in those 43 innings, and a 0.93 whip. The guy's been outstanding over his last seven, and really all season long, because he's down to 2.84 ERA for the season, and the whip is just barely over one at 1.06. Anybody that is arguing that Aaron Boone made the wrong move yesterday for taking Clark Schmidt out of that game, you're a moron. I'm so sorry to say it so bluntly, but you are, because here I'm going to lay out all the facts of why Aaron Boone made the right decision yesterday. Number one, Clark Schmidt has never thrown more than 103 pitches in a game in his entire career. Clark Schmidt threw 103 pitches yesterday. Not saying that he didn't have more, but he has not reached 100 pitches all season long until he did yesterday. If he doesn't have the no-hitter going yesterday, he probably doesn't even reach 100, and Boone probably takes him out of the game earlier. Okay, that's point number one. Number two, Clark Schmidt has shown himself to be injury-prone throughout the course of his career. He missed a long time last year with the lat strain, had the shoulder in the back that caused him to miss the first couple of weeks this year. He is on a real heater right now. There is no reason to risk injury with a guy that has shown a propensity to be injured to chase a no-hitter. Here's reason number three. Jason, you said it yourself. It was the seventh inning. If he had gotten through the eighth at 103, you have a legitimate gripe with Aaron Boone to not see if he can get through that inning quickly. But once you put him on the mound for the eighth inning, you're committed to him pitching the ninth inning. And in no world are you allowing a starting pitcher on June 21st to throw 140 pitches, which is probably what it would have taken to get this no-hitter. You are not letting him go that deep into a game. It's just not happening. And people, when I post that on social media, people are like, well, pitchers today, they're soft. Nolan Ryan used to throw 150 pitches. Hey, asshole, that was 30, 40 years ago that Nolan Ryan was throwing 150 pitches. Somebody mentioned to me Tom Seaver. You know what the year Tom Seaver retired? 1986!
Yeah.
You're citing guys that pitched before my sister was even born, okay? That is not relevant to anything that we're talking about today. Guys are trained to do certain things. They're trained to go 100 to 110 pitches. Now you want a guy that's only threw 100 pitches in his entire career twice to throw 140 pitches for some personal gratification for you to go out there and to have witnessed a no-hitter. It's not going to happen. Aaron Boone is right. You can clip that and play it over and over again. I don't give a shit. He was right yesterday. And you can tell that he wanted Schmidt to get the no-hitter. We all did. We all wanted to witness history yesterday. But the juice was not worth the squeeze. It was more important to preserve the health and the right arm of Clark Schmidt yesterday in a game that you were winning 9-0 than it was for him to chase a no-hitter. Two more innings, by the way. You have a, if you want to say 103, it's going into the ninth, you want to let him chase it? Oh, my God, I'm probably fighting with you tooth and nail right now that Boone was wrong doing it. But for two innings, no. Aaron Boone was 100% right to pull the plug on Clark Schmidt yesterday. And I'm sorry, if you argue against that, you're just not seeing the forest through the trees, okay? Yeah. You're stepping over dollars to pick up pennies. Whatever cliche that you want to use in that situation, that's what you're being right now. The Yankees have to be cautious, especially with a guy like Clark Schmidt. Okay, you're already dealing with no Gerrit Cole for the entire season. Luis Gil just started throwing off a mound to live hitters, and we're almost 3 months through the season. Ryan Yarbrough just went on the IL with an oblique strain. So we got to call up Alan Winans tomorrow to make his first career start. Because guess what? That's gonna circle back around to Marcus Stroman making starts for the Yankees, which you, me, or nobody wants that to happen. But you want to risk injury for Clark Schmidt to chase a no-hitter yesterday. Sorry, you're wrong. Aaron Boone was right. This might be the only time in the history of this podcast that you'll hear me say that from this point on out. But yes, Aaron Boone was right yesterday for pulling Clark Schmidt.
Corey Kluber had 101 pitches in his no-hitter. And Domingo Germán had 99 pitches thrown in his perfect game. Which he was at 103, right. And he needed six more batters to get out.
Exactly. He needed six more outs to go. And he had shown a propensity for not being really efficient throughout the game, especially in the first inning when he threw, 25 pitches or so. That really robbed him of getting even deeper into this game. So, yes, I'm sorry, man. I know that there are sports radio personalities out there that are having their tits hanging out in their pool, screaming about this yesterday. Sorry, buddy, you're wrong. Okay, a lot of you that argued, some of you, well, not, I would say there wasn't that many people that gave me blowback on social media yesterday, but the ones that did, you're wrong. You have to think about the bigger picture. And Clark Schmidt right now is the Yankees' number three starter in the postseason. You're going to risk all that for him to chase a no-hitter when he needs six more outs? And he wasn't at 89 pitches. He wasn't at 92 pitches. He had reached 103, which was his career high, okay? And I'm going to liken it to this, right? I love to go down to Philly every November and run the Rocky Run. It's a 5K. It's 3.14 miles. That's what a 5K is. I have not run since that day back in November. So for me to get up off this chair and go run a 5K right now, I'll drop dead. Or if I don't die, what will happen is I will hurt myself, guaranteed. I have to build myself to go run those 3.14 miles, okay? Just like, so when I start running, I'll do a mile. I'll add this, I'll add that, bang, bang, bang. And then by the time November happens, I'll be good to go. So I can't expect myself to get up today when I haven't run in 6 months, eight months, and go run a 5K today. It ain't going to happen. Just like this guy's not conditioned to throw 140 pitches, you can't expect him to go out there and throw 140 pitches and not anticipate a negative reaction somewhere along the line. I mean, it would be, if it does, I'm not saying it's 100% that it's going to be happen, but I'm going to say that the odds are overwhelmingly in the favor of something adverse happening to Clark Schmidt throwing 140 pitches. Maybe not in his next start, maybe not in his next two starts, but I'm guaranteeing you will see some residual effect from that. So for the Yankees to be smart when it's usually smarter Yankees, and the Yankees be smart in that situation to protect Clark Schmidt's health, I'm all on that train, man. I'm all for it, and Aaron Boone was 100% right yesterday.
I mean, if he got a no-hitter, it would have been good for baseball. I don't think it would have been good for the Yankees, though. You know, it would have been good for TV, would have been good for radio, would have been good for just the MLB in general for ratings and whatnot. But for the actual Yankees themselves, it would have bit them in the ass. You know, I don't agree with Aaron Boone very often. This is one of the few times where I didn't, but, you know, I'm being real. And after emotions settle, you know, I would have done exactly the same. And I'm glad that I'm not the Yankees manager, because I don't know what I would have done in that moment. I probably would have done something stupid. But we're better off, because the eye on the prize here is making it to the World Series and getting a championship ring. You know, in the grand scheme of things, you know, you could be in the record books, or you could have a nice, fancy, shiny ring and say, hey, look what I did. You know, I'd prefer the latter, you know, the latter. Yeah. But it's what it all comes down to. And people are emotional about it. They're not using, you know, rationale. It's just pure emotion. Everybody wants to see this. We want that. We want this. We want that. It is what it is. It's over with. And, you know, this is a guy that struggled getting out of four innings, five innings. I'm just happy. You know, he made it into the seventh inning, through the seventh inning. That's an amazing feat in itself. I think that Clark Schmidt is going deeper into games, and he's becoming an all around very good, starting pitcher. It's been a journey with him. Obviously, when he first started out, it wasn't quite like this. And we've watched him become who he is today. And hopefully this is something that he could keep up for the rest of the season, because we're going to need him. He's really important, especially with Cole not being here. And, you know, we'll see where we end up in a few months. And hopefully that, you know, he's going to be a big piece of that, of the puzzle that we have to place together in the postseason run.
Yeah, so as I said, right as the things that stand right now today, Clark Schmidt's your number three starter. I feel very confident with him being on the mound, and you don't risk that for a no hitter. I'm sorry, you just don't. So we move on from that, and then today, Will Warren, I didn't catch early on in the first inning. I saw him give up the two. That second run was such a backbreaker, because he had gotten to two outs, and you were just hoping he would keep it to one. But then he settled in, man, and he gives the Yankees, excuse me, he gives the Yankees 6 1/3 of two-run balls, strikes out six. I mean, the ERA, if you look at it, people don't think that he's a good pitcher, but, man, Will Warren's a good pitcher. He'll have his inning where things maybe kind of get a little bit away from him. But overall, for the most part, man, this guy, he's just been really good this year. Over his last set, but that's what I'm saying. Like, over his last seven, 4.72, 15, 4.73, overall 4.66. So, I mean, there's no like trend that you're looking at where you say Will Warren has been really good, but my eyes show me a guy that is really starting to put things together at the major league level and is a lot better than maybe his numbers tell you that he is. And I'm not going to say that if Will Warren goes out there and has to pitch a pivotal game in the postseason where the Yankees are, you know, down 2-1 in game four to the DS, that I'm not going to be shit in my pants. But I have liked the progressions in the development of Will Warren this year. And I think today was another game where you can just put a check mark, say, hey, this guy's going to be and has been a good major league pitcher.
Yeah, I mean, he's no Gerrit Cole.
I mean, he's got 96 strikeouts and 75 in the third innings. He's got great stuff, man. It's just that when he falls behind, he becomes hittable, and sometimes the walks will bite him and he gives up runs. But, I mean, he has the stuff to get major league hitters out.
It's promising. He could be, you know, in the next year or two, you could expect him to be a great pitcher. You know, it's like Buck Showalter was talking about it today. I don't know. You're watching on MLB. I don't know if he was still on. He was still the one calling the game or whatnot. But he said
I watched it on Roku.
Oh, you did?
When you asked me what I was, I had the mobile. I wasn't home. I was watching on their mobile app.
Gotcha. But Buck Showalter alluded to that. He goes, "It's very different coming up from, you know, AAA going to the major leagues." And he goes, "And it seems that Will Warren's starting to settle in very nicely as he's getting used to all of it." So, I think we have the bones to a really good starting rotation here, you know, and when everything comes together, you got What the hell's in Garrett Cole back next year and all that? I think we're going to be pretty formidable. I'm pretty excited about that. I know I'm looking way past this season, and there's still a lot of baseball left here. But I'm it watching Will Warren go out there, watching him throw those pitches, striking batters out. It gets me excited for the future because that's who your future is. It's Will Warren. Will Warren, Clark Schmidt, Luis Gil. That's what we have to look forward to. And having him pitch and look that way, especially when we don't know how Gil is going to be when he comes back, because last year was an anomaly too, because he was coming back from Tommy John surgery and he went into, an innings pitch that he never reached before and all that. And he started this
Bingo.
fall off.
And I'm guaranteeing you that the Yankees regret letting Gil throw as many innings as he did last year after not pitching for how many years with the Tommy John surgery. And then they pushed because when Boone, we I had heard right from Boone's mouth, if not Boone's mouth, it was certainly insinuated. Before the season started, the Yankees were looking at at about 80 innings for Luis Gil. And what did he end up throwing last year?
I want to say it was like 120 or something stupid like that.
He ended up throwing 151 last year. So
Oh shit, it's even more.
he almost doubled what the initial estimate was for him. And yeah, I mean, the Yankees, he only missed about two or three starts. He went on the IL late in the season. What did they say? He had back spasms or something, which was, I think, was just their way of giving giving him a break. But I'm guaranteeing you that this injury that he suffered and has now kept him out through the first three, probably 4 months of the season here is probably the Yankees pushing him further than than he should have been, because the last time Luis Gil pitched in the major leagues was in 2022, and he threw four innings, and then he threw 150 plus innings last year. So this is what I'm talking about with Clark Schmidt. These guys are only built up to do so much. You have to get to that point before you can get past that point. So I fought with Chris over this 100 times last year about an innings limit and restricting Luis Gil, and he was like, "Well, it doesn't matter." He's like, "Just look at the stuff." And there were times where I looked at him and he looked fatigued. And there were times last year where I thought the Yankees were going to shut him down because he was hit, and they just kept pushing him through and pushing him through. And then he had that long layoff between the end of the season and then when he made his first start in the postseason in the ALCS. So I'm not a doctor. I can't tell you 100%, but if I'm a betting man, I'm saying that this injury was maybe not directly, maybe there's more to it than we think here. That it's just not, that there is some causation between him going from four innings in 2022 and to not pitching in 2023 to 151 innings in 2024, and now he's injured and missing 4 months. I'm just saying.
I mean, I know why they did it. I mean, he was absolutely filthy last year and they needed him, but at the same time, it's tough. And then Marcus Stroman sucked last year too. So then you even needed Heal to rely on him even that much more. Had Marcus Stroman maybe
Good. I'm
pulled
glad
his
you brought
weight,
that up. So, if
maybe.
you want to blame anybody for for Luis Gil being injured, blame Marcus Stroman being ass last year and the Yankees not being able to give Luis Gil a break when he probably needed it.
Well, that's 100% the whole reason behind it because Stroman was ass, he was terrible, and you needed Heald. What was the game last year? It was last year. Okay, because he didn't pick yet. It was raining out, and how many runs did Marcus Stroman give up in one inning?
No, that was earlier this year.
That was this year?
That was the San Francisco game on that Friday night. That's
He
a game
fucking
that
sucks. I really just hate
that was
him,
the
and he's
last
just
game.
meshed into.
That was the last game that he pitched because remember his knee hurt afterwards.
Oh, that was, yeah. Everything's like meshed together in my brain, and I have to like slowly go in there and pull it out. He's just ass, though. He sucks. He's horrible, and he's too unpredictable. You don't know what you're going to get out of him. And that's why they had to rely on Heal so much. And because Heal was consistent for the most part. And then as the season got in, he was starting to be a little bit spotty. He was having hard games. He was really starting to have control issues and whatnot. And that's probably the fatigue that was setting in because, like you said, from four innings to that many, it's just, I can't picture myself doing that. I'm a garbage man. I could get out and I could help. I drive a garbage truck. I used to be on the back. I could get out and help. I tried to help get out and help my guys a couple weeks ago. I did more than 20 cans. I was ready to pass out. Meanwhile, I used to do a whole route by myself. It's completely different. So when you tax somebody's body that way, it's going to happen. They're doing things they haven't done in a long time. And it is. It's Marcus Stroman's fault. That's why it's such a big deal when he sits there and he wants to be a pain in the ass and say he's not going to pitch out of the bullpen or whatever he's going to do. He's not going to be a team player because last year he screwed the team over with a shitty performance.
Although now he says that he'll do whatever's asked of him.
He will.
But he's going to wind – I have a feeling he's going to wind up back in the rotation. I mean, I don't know what – I would love – if Alan Winans goes out here and shoves tomorrow night, he should get the next start. And he should get the one after that until he shows that he doesn't deserve it. And, you know, maybe he gets on a little bit of a heater. But just because Marcus Stroman's on his way back and Yarbrough's hurt doesn't mean that Stroman automatically gets the spot when he's ready. So, you know, if Wyans goes out there and gives up, six runs in an inning and two-thirds, and then Stroman's ready, okay, you know what, then give it to Stroman. But if Wyans goes out there, gets into the fifth inning, allows one run, he should get the next start. And Marcus Stroman can go sit in the bullpen until we need him.
Yeah, because we don't want Marcus Stroman to hit that innings pitched number.
He's not going to hit it. I mean, we're way past that point now.
All right, well, that's why he's willing to now pitch wherever he can, because now it's –
because he's going to be a free agent at the end of the year, and he's going to want a job. So
exactly. So no, when he was just being a pain in the ass being in the season. So screw him.
So because the Yankees won today, and I'm in a fairly good mood, I'm gonna do something that you love to do to close out the show.
What's that?
I'm going to let you talk shit about Anthony Volpe.
Anthony Volpe fucking sucks.
Hold on.
We all need to sit down and agree to it. It's not a secret anymore. He sucks.
Hold on a second. Jesus, calm down.
Trash.
You're like a horny teenager that sees his first pair of boobs and doesn't know how to handle himself. Gee,
I knew how to handle my first pair.
Calm down, bro. Damn. So.
Trash.
Anthony Volpe came into Saturday's game on an 0-for-24 streak. Strikes out his first at-bat. He's 0-for-25. Then Anthony Volpe gets a little tiny little dribbler down third base, breaks the streak. Then Anthony Volpe hits a home run, porch job. Okay. Then Anthony Volpe gets a little dunker. Anthony Volpe's got a three-hit game. Anthony Volpe's on the bench today. Now, number one, Anthony Volpe knew this was a day off before the game started yesterday. So the Yankees had this pre-planned day off for him before he had the three hits yesterday, even though I'm really only counting one of them. Yeah, I know it was a porch job, but that's what I want Anthony Volpe to do. I want him to take the ball the other way and try to play pepper with that wall out there or hit balls over it. That's what I want him to do, okay? That's his best approach. And then today fans are like, well, three hits, and now he's on the bench. Number one, you were all bitching and complaining that he needed a day off, and he's getting it. So yesterday, because he had three hits, two of which, I mean, I'm not even really counting. Now he should be in the lineup, and I get it. You know, sometimes the Yankees don't read the room. That's why when Aaron Judge was given that day off in Kansas City, I thought it was stupid. But I didn't think this was stupid. He needed the day off. I would have sat him both Saturday and Sunday to let him clear his mind, because that's how big of a funk that he's been in. And as big of a reason as any that the Yankees lost that one game against Anaheim is because he's making friggin' errors. Taylor Made, you're bringing in Tim Hill to get the lefty to hit into a double play, which he does, and Anthony Volpe can't field it. So now, the one thing that the Yankees were selling you on, oh, gold glove defense, blah, blah, blah. Great. That's routine as routine gets. If Aaron Boone could have scripted it, that's exactly what he would have done. Get Tim Hill to hit the ball to my shortstop, double play, bang. Instead, you know, the run, that was the game-winning run right there. Or that wasn't Monday, I don't think. I don't forget what day it was. It was one of the games against Anaheim. And probably was Monday. Who cares at this point? But the point stands, right? So now he's shaky defensively. Now everybody is like, well, look at where his average is. Look where his OPS is. He's this, and this, and shortstop rankings. And then it's like, you can't really argue it, you know, because But now he's back in one of these deep Anthony Volpe valleys where yesterday he was hitting, before the game started, he was hitting 228. You want to guess what Anthony Volpe's career average is? It's 228.
I was off, but yeah, by point. It's, yeah.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses like Rise Bakery connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
I mentioned that he was hitting 228, which was his exact career average. Now, after the three hits yesterday, it's 230. He's hitting 236 on a year. So a guy that's highest OPS in his career was 666. Maybe he might be able to beat that by 100 points because that's the way it was trending. And then going into yesterday's, and now it's up to 733 after the couple hits yesterday because it was trending to dip below 700 again. So, I mean, I'm so sick and tired of this conversation about Anthony Volpe. I've watched the guy play baseball with my own eyes for 2.5 years now, and I also hate the whataboutism because I saw this some of the posts that I made yesterday, the post I made about Volpe yesterday. What about Dominguez? I mean, if you don't understand the difference between Jason Dominguez and Anthony Volpe, then I'm not having a conversation with you, okay? Because we're in year three of Anthony Volpe, where he was given the keys to the kingdom, and he's fumbled them, okay? Whereas Jason Dominguez has barely played the equivalence of a half a season of Major League Baseball in 3 years. I think he's played 89 games after today. I think that's his total. Is 89 games and parts of three seasons. You cannot compare the two. And the Yankees certainly have not given Jason Dominguez the keys to the kingdom because he doesn't play every day. He's playing musical chairs with him, Grisham, and Bellinger. So it's not the same thing. But again, Anthony Volpe gives you these glimpses of that he can be the guy. And when I talked to Chris McMonagle last week, he said he can be the guy. And then he does it. He has an 0-for-25 where he's hitting under 230 and his OPS is ready to drop under 700 again. This is Anthony Volpe. Guys, I don't know what excuse me, I don't know what's going to change right now. I said I was giving him to the All-Star break last year, and I'm still going to do that before I put the hammer down and say this is it, I'm done. But what are we watching that gives you, the Anthony Volpe supporter, the guy that is telling me that he is going to be the franchise shortstop for the next decade, that he deserves to be the franchise shortstop for the next decade? Not that the Yankees are going to make him the franchise shortstop for the next decade, but what does he done that he deserves to be the franchise shortstop for the next decade? Gold Glove defense, he has 9 errors this year, okay? And I know people that, when they want to defend a defensive player, say errors are overrated, are going to might tell me that, but they're not, because I, again, have my own two eyes and see that he's been much more shaky this year than he has been in the previous 2 years defensively. Okay. Again, not hitting for average, not getting on base enough, not hitting for power. What is he doing exactly? What is Anthony Volpe doing that he deserves to be the shortstop for the New York Yankees for the next 10 years? What does he do when I walk into any of the 20 ShopRites that I work in throughout the course of the week, and I walk into them and they have this big LED board, buy Yankee tickets now, and they replace Gerrit Cole with Max Fried because Gerrit Cole's injured? I have no problem with that. Max Fried's been great. He's been the ace. The other guy is Aaron Judge, obviously the face of your franchise. Who's the guy dead center in the middle of it all? Anthony Volpe. What has he done that he deserves to be in the center of the poster? When the Yankees want you to go out of your way to spend money to watch them play baseball, that's the guy they're advertising for you to come see. What has he done to deserve any of that? Outside of his story. Outside of the Yankees wanting to market him and sell you his story, what on the field in How many games has he played? I don't know why I keep saying 100. In 395 major league games, what has Anthony Volpe done to show you he deserves that job? If you have an answer for me, at Christian_NYYST on X, DM me. There, you can respond to any post that I make, and I'll read it, or you know, anything, or you know, leave us a review on this show, and I'll read them as well. Okay, tell me what he's done to deserve it. If you have a logical argument, I'll have it with you. But I haven't seen it, and I'm rooting like hell for him. Every time I come on here and rip Anthony Volpe, a little piece of me dies because I want this kid to do it so fucking bad. I want it for him. I want him to be the guy. I want this to happen. I don't want to worry about our shortstop for the next 10 years because we went from Derek Jeter retiring in 2014 to having a really shitty situation for 2 years until Didi went on a little bit of a run from 2017 to 2019 and then not having a shortstop for 3 years. To where we had to endure IKF, and then we endured IKF because the Yankees didn't want to get into the free agent market because they had this kid coming. I want this to happen. But tell me why. Or tell me what you've seen that it's going to happen. And I know I should be a lot more positive about the team after they've won 3 out of 4. But again, this is a big talking point right now. Anthony Volpe, 0-25, and even that 3-for-3 yesterday isn't as impressive as you probably would want it to be. And people were talking about him. Well, why is he on the bench? Well, he really needed a day off. He did need to get in there and clear his fucking mind because he's been abysmal through this stretch here. And he's had another one of these deep, deep valleys where you're wondering how this kid can even stay on a major league roster, let alone be the Yankees shortstop for the next 10 years.
He sucks.
I mean, I just spent 10 minutes ranting, and that's your answer.
Anthony Volpe, when you watch it, you watch the games, you look at the stats, so it is what it is. Anthony Volpe does not perform when he's under pressure.
Except for that he had an over 800 OPS in the postseason last year.
Yeah, that was amazing. And we were all surprised, and we were all like, oh, what's going on here?
And that's the one thing when I came into the season this year, why I had such high hope for him, is he did it in October last year.
That was wild. And it's the anomaly. Why? Why was it then? Because he's just not that good. When Anthony Volpe comes up, he just seems to suck the momentum out of any drive that they're putting together. It's not football. My apologies.
You don't even like
rally
football.
That they're putting, huh?
You don't even like football.
I just came out. Any rally that they're putting together, he just seems to suck all the life out of it. You could get up with three guys on. He could get up, bases loaded, no outs. He comes up, he's going to strike out. He's going to look ugly doing it too. Or he's going to hit, like the other day, he hit the ball. It wasn't intentional. He barely made contact with the ball. It stayed fair and he got on base. It was an accident. It was because he just missed the pitch and he barely made contact with the ball and he got lucky. Big situations and Anthony Volpe don't mix. That's what it's coming down to. When it doesn't matter when he's leading off and they have the lead, he'll get on base. And that's Anthony Volpe's game. He's not that great of a base runner, I don't think. He's getting caught. The other day he got caught. They're saying that's Austin Wells took off too early, yada, yada, whatever. I don't give a shit. Anthony Volpe's not that great of a base runner in my eyes. He's not getting on base enough to show me that he is or stealing bases or whatnot. He's just not putting anything together that solidifies the fact that he should be the starting shortstop for the New York Yankees, and it's a problem. When we sit there and we're force-fed the story, we have to look at pictures of him, you have to see him here, there, you go on an it gets to be too much, and he was built up so much, and we expected so much, and we're receiving very little, you know? I was in the stadium for his first game. The way that his jersey flew off the shelves when they had a guy on a on a a ladder, taking Anthony Volpe's number 11 off the top rack, and they were like beating people back. It was the most insane thing you saw. It was like somebody climbing a tree and a bunch of alligators at the bottom trying not to get eaten. It was so wild. People were feral trying to get their hands on an Anthony Volpe jersey and overpay for it at Yankee Stadium, and everybody was proudly walking out with it to see what they've gotten for their investment. It is just pure insanity. He's not that good. He's a below average hitter. League average is what, 245 this year? So far, somewhere around there?
Well, technically, if you look at OPS plus, he is above league average.
Yeah, I just look at batting average. I'm not a stat person. I look at batting average. He can't hit the ball.
No, I don't think he's a good hitter at all. I mean,
it's not.
That game the other night where he struck out to end the game, that pitch is middle up, which if you go on at bat and they show you the hot zones, which is deep red for him, and he stood no chance.
None.
And look, there's certain things I don't want to talk about on the show anymore. You know one of them, and obviously the Yankees are going to play them in a couple of weeks. Going to be here before.
They're like three series or four series away.
So I'm sure he'll come up again, but and this is one of them. I'm done with this conversation. I'm truly done with this conversation. So we will talk about Anthony Volpe in the context of games if something happens, but to sit here and spend any significant time on whether or not Anthony Volpe should or shouldn't be the franchise shortstop, I'm done. The point has been made now, and that horse is dead. There's nothing left to beat, okay? I'm over this conversation. That's why I said if you feel differently, at @Christian_NYYST on X, or you can TikTok, we're at NYYST Podcast, or leave us a review on Apple Podcasts. You can find us in any numerous amount of ways here. And tell me why you think differently. But for me to waste airtime on this show about Anthony Volpe in that context, I'm done now, okay? So you want to talk? He comes up in a big spot. He strikes out. Yankees lose. We'll bring it up. You can say Anthony Volpe sucks. We're moving on, okay? Because I'm not having this conversation anymore. I'm tired of it because it's one of these things that has exhausted me now because we've witnessed this for almost 3 years. And if he goes in this, that three, even because they say sometimes it just takes a little blooper to get a guy going. If that's what it takes to get him going, great. I hope to God that it does. And if that plus this day off is what leads him to hit 350 for the rest of the year and into October and really he tightens it up where he's a gold glove defender again, because he makes some really great plays. He can sometimes you look out there and be like, holy crap, how'd he make that? And then there's times where he just looks like his head's up his ass. So he hasn't been as good defensively this year. So the next time we have a conversation about Anthony Volpe like this is going to be in the offseason when we do keep him or dump him. And I want to sit there and say, man, I remember on June 22nd when I said I wasn't going to have this conversation about him anymore. And now he's been great and he's my shortstop. Or I was completely dead on in everything I said and the Yankees have to think about a new shortstop in 2020. But I'm done. I'm telling you right now, I'm done having these long format conversations about Anthony Volpe's future here. And, you know, because I just don't see what other people that think that he can be the guy see. And if I'm wrong, I hope to God that I am wrong. And then we're having a different conversation after the season's over this year.
Yeah. It gets old. I was talking to my best friend's little brother about him at the stadium, and it's funny because my best friend's little brother used to play baseball with Anthony Volpe, and we were talking about that when I was there, and he's working, he's handing out wristbands and stuff like that because he decided not to pursue the baseball route. But, yeah, I mean, even he was there. He even said, Anthony Volpe's swing looks like shit. It's just something needs to change in his game. He needs to change what he's doing. He needs to come at it from a different angle, a different approach. He needs to change what he's doing because what he's doing now just just isn't working out, whether it's that they brought him up too early, they put too much pressure on him, whatever it is. It's not that I don't like Anthony Volpe. I like when he does his interviews, whatever. I think he handles everything the right way. He's a young kid. He's always smiling for the most part. He looks happy to be there. That's great and all, but you know what? I'm here for results. I pay a lot of money to go to Yankee games, and I want wins, okay? The proof is in the pudding, and unless they're winning another championship, I'm going to be upset every season, because that's what we all want. So as much as I like Anthony Volpe, as he seems like a really good person, he looks like he could be a great role model, that only gets you so far, because we want wins. And without wins, without being, you know, stellar and doing everything you can be and being the star of the team, which he's not, you're not earning your place on this team is what it is.
So we'll close out the show with this here. Joe Girardi was in the booth for the two Yes games, and they led to me posting two Joe Girardi-centric posts, which got a lot of attention. I think they're both well over 3,000 likes on X right now. I had to mute them because I'll tell you the reason why in a minute. The first one was on Friday night, when Gary Sanchez was on base. It might have been, I don't think it was after, because I wasn't home when Sanchez hit the single. It had to be later in the game. And they showed his splits with the Yankees from 2015 to 2017, to then when from 2018 to 20, when did he get traded? 2021 was his last year here. Yeah. So they showed his splits from 2015 to 2017 and then 2018 to 2021. And you can notice one big glaring thing. He was a great player up until 2017, and then he was really, really bad post. And I posted a screenshot of that, and I said, I wonder if there was a major change in the organization post 2017. Well, I thought that many people would go down the road that I went down and said that we had a new manager after 2017. And Joe Girardi, who Sanchez hated because he was tough on him, also got the most out of him to Aaron Boone, who coddled him. And clearly you can see the trajectory that Sanchez's career went on afterwards. I had no idea I was going to wake up on Saturday and that post was going to wind up on Astros Twitter, and they were going to use it as a way to attack the Yankees for using Apple Watches, which there was, you know, them and the Red Sox, they got basically slaps on the wrist for some improper use of technology, whatever. I mean, it is what it is. Now, if you're an Astros fan, you got some set of balls on you to call into question any other team for their improper use of technology. You guys were behind the largest cheating scandal in baseball history and won a title because of it, or in part of it. Because, again, I'm not one of these Yankee fans that think that the trash cans cost the Yankees the ALCS in 2017. The Yankees just didn't hit in Houston. That's why they lost. But you can't come on here and look at a post when a normal person would say to themselves, oh, the Yankees changed managers after the 2017 season, and use that and say, oh, that's when the Yankees stopped using the Apple Watches, and we're gonna now all attack like a swarm of bees on this post. Because you're stupid, number one.
Stupid.
And number two, I'll give you credit, but you're stupid. You also got a giant set of balls on you for talking shit about anybody improperly using technology. Okay, maybe just sit that one out. That's not a fight you get to be in, okay, as a Houston Astros fan. And a lot of them, that's what they didn't seem to understand. Well, why did we become the face of it is what one guy said to me. Hello, asshole. You won a World Series while you were cheating. You had a whole system rigged up. Did you not think you were going to become the face of it? And last I checked, nobody took the title away from you. You're still the champions. Nor do I personally think that you should have had the title taken away from you. So you got your panties all up your ass against the wrong person. Because my whole thing about the Yankees was cheat better, win. I don't care. But you did. So you don't get to be in this conversation. You don't get to accuse anybody of anything. And then, because Joe Girardi yesterday on Saturday was going through the keys of the game as Aaron Boone is blowing one of his lovely giant bubbles. And then I said to myself, I'm going to post this. And I said, Joe Girardi must say to himself, and then bang, I listed all these things that happened to Girardi while he was manager here. He succeeded Joe Torre. He closed Yankee Stadium, dealt with the end of the core four. They gave him some of the most ass rosters we've seen since the early 90s. What else happened? 2016 was the first time this in the last 30 years this team is sold at the deadline. Then he gets to manage a team that had no expectations whatsoever in the 2017 team. Got him to game seven, and they replaced him for a guy that picks his nose and blows bubbles in a dugout. Which really, if you think about it, both of my posts weren't so much pro-Girardi as they were negative of Aaron Boone, right? So guess who that attracted? Phillies fans. That wound up in Phillies Twitter because they hate Joe Girardi. They legitimately hate Joe Girardi because, remember, Joe Girardi got fired and they went on to go win a World Series with Rob Thompson. And Rob Thompson's still there. Not Yankee fans still glazing over Joe Girardi, I think one guy said. And I said, nobody's glazing Joe Girardi here. This is more anti-Aaron Boone than anything, okay? So, but now what I've realized is I'm not posting anything that can be seen positively towards Joe Girardi because it's just going to attract a different fan base that has just stupid people in it, okay?
Stupid.
Because here's what the Philly fans doesn't understand. Is that what happened to you has no correlation or relevance to the Yankees. And again, I'm not living in the – I don't think Joe Girardi should be the manager today. I want to make that perfectly clear. No part of me wants Joe Girardi to be the manager of the 2025 Yankees. I wasn't even a big Joe Girardi guy during his tenure here. His nickname was Binder Joe. People like to say Boone doesn't play from his gut. This guy didn't play from his gut either. If it wasn't in the binder, Joe Girardi didn't do it. But where I did support Joe Girardi is after you put him through all of that, you left him in charge of overseeing the end of the Jeter era and to be the new into the Judge era, which wasn't, this whole new with Bird and Sanchez and Tyler Austin, which there's one guy left, by the way. You left him to oversee that. And then he got the team to game seven in the ALCS, and then you replaced him. It took a guy 8 years to get further than where Joe Girardi had gotten. Where that whole core gone, by the way. Only Judges left. That Joe Girardi deserved the opportunity to manage the team in 2018, and the Yankees should have given him a 2 or 3 year extension to see what he got out of that core. I'm sorry that happened to you, Philly. But if you guys in my mentions were so like, well, we fired him and won a World Series. Okay, great. I don't care. That had nothing to do with what happened in New York. And if in 2018 it had turned around that Joe Girardi wasn't the right guy for the job, then you could have fired him. But he deserved the opportunity to come back. That's all I'm saying. And no, I don't still want him to be the manager in 2025. The game, I think he is past his time as being a manager in Major League Baseball. But never did I think when I posted those two things I was going to attract Astros fans and Phillies fans. Saying the same goddamn thing over and over again and not a damn one of them understanding where the post was coming from or why they were stupid for posting what they posted. So, there's a lot of things I'm done with today. Anthony Volpe and posting about Joe Girardi. That's it. We're done.
Stupid. Stupid.
I had to mute. I had to post. I had to mute both of those posts because of what I just the same thing over and over again. Apple watches. You guys cheated too. This is, oh, I wonder why. Well, yeah, why? Because Aaron Boone took over and didn't get the same things out of Gary Sanchez than that Joe Girardi did. That's why. It has nothing to do with Apple watches, you idiots. I don't know if the sun is so hot down in Houston it melted your brains that you don't have cognitive thinking down there anymore. Or we all know what a shithole Philadelphia is. And if I ever got to meet Sylvester Stallone, that's the one thing I would tell him. Why? Why did you make Rocky come from that shit? Such a shithole. You could have made him come from Newark and it would have been the same thing. Or Bayonne. There's a lot of Italians getting Bayonne in the 70s.
Jersey City, Hoboken, Little Italy.
He could have been the Italian Stallion in Hoboken, okay? He didn't have to be from Philadelphia.
I fucking hate Philly.
Because if I never step foot in Philadelphia again, I honestly, I love going to Philly to do the run every year, but I have no desire to ever step foot in that place ever. In fact, I stay in Cherry Hill to go to Philadelphia when we go to Philadelphia.
When we went to Nashville, you know, the first thing I did was when we landed,
what?
I talked shit to a Philly fan because they're everywhere. You can't get away from them. And I was pissed off about it. I flew how many states away and there were still people wearing Philly shit.
Oh, well, Girardi got fired. He could have went for us. Did you guys want him back? Well, I think I just outlined it. Why are you that dumb? And what does it have to do with you? What does that have to do with you? Okay.
I don't like the entirety of Pennsylvania.
I love being on social media there. I met some really great people there. I can have some really awesome conversations. But then when you get those situations come and it's just the same thing over and over again, it's just like, I'm done listening to it. Mute. So now we move on to Cincinnati here for a quick little roadie here against the Reds, which, you know, might be a little bit tougher than it probably should be because it's the Yankees, but all 7-10 starts Monday night. Nick Lodolo, who's a pretty solid pitcher, 5-5, 3-7-1 against Alan Winans, making his major league debut, his first career start. Oh, actually, it's not his major league debut. He's pitched out of the bullpen a couple of times, 8 games, 7.2 ERA, but it is his first start. But he's been really good down in the minor leagues here for the Yankees this year. He's got a .90 ERA for Scranton this year. So he deserves the shot, man. I mean, if Stroman's not ready, he definitely deserves a shot. We'll see what he can get here, get out of him on Monday night. And then Tuesday, it's Rodon against Nick Martinez, who pitches to a 4-4-5. High whip, 125, doesn't strike out a lot of people, should – pitch. This should be a pitching matchup that should benefit the Yankees, but if the home run ball is back for Rodon, this is a scary ballpark for him to pitch in. Fly ball pitcher yields a lot of home runs in a ballpark that is very, very small. But I really want to see this be a situation where Rodon just goes out there and shuts down the Cincinnati Reds and the Yankees, score a bunch of runs. And then to close out the series on Wednesday, it's Brady Singer, who was with the Royals last year, got traded for Jonathan India, 4.13. Again, high whip, doesn't strike a lot of people out. The Yankees are familiar with him, should be a guy that they hit against Max Fried, whose ERA is now over to a 2.05. He's got a – not that he's been bad in his last couple starts, but we just need one of those Max Fried 8-inning, 1-run performances where he's just in cruise control the entire game. So if the Yankees do anything less than take 2 out of 3, it's going to be extremely disappointing against the Reds here, especially after they had this big win today and have won their last 3 or 4 games. And then we'll be back here on Thursday, finally back on NYY Underground. Hopefully Mother Nature cooperates. I don't think I have any scheduling conflicts, but that's what kept us off on last Thursday. So we want to thank everybody for their continued support of the show. Please leave us a 5-star rating and review on your favorite podcast platform, the very one that you're listening to on right now. Please subscribe to NYY Underground so you'll get a notification when we are live on Thursday. And make sure you tell everybody NYYST is the official Yankee podcast of Odyssey. We want to thank you so much for your continued support of the show. And we want to thank you for listening to episode 474. Sam, say goodbye.
Bye.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses like Rise Bakery connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.